morning, everyone. I'm going to bring it back to the local level now and discuss the results of a qualitative evaluation of some student-led STD awareness activities on Los Angeles Unified School District campuses. So I'll just give a little bit of project background, discuss the evaluation itself, and then leave you with some recommendations. So the Los Angeles Unified School District is the second largest school district in the country, serving nearly 650,000 students. This is a very diverse student population that is 73% Hispanic, 10% African American, 10% white, and 6% Asian. This is a primarily urban and low-income population. So we have a network of 14 wellness centers, which are school-based health centers that provide services to communities of highest need throughout Los Angeles County. These were identified based on health risk factors, including teen pregnancy and chlamydia rates, untreated asthma, youth violence exposure, poverty, and trauma. And these wellness centers do serve both LAUSD students as well as community members. They're managed by local FQHCs and Planned Parenthood Los Angeles. And research has demonstrated that adolescents with access to school-based health centers are more likely to access preventive reproductive health care, including chlamydia screening. So they're important partners for us. So in response to low student utilization of the wellness centers, we launched an awareness campaign in 2013. Project partners include California Family Health Council, my organization, the LA Trust for Children's Health, Planned Parenthood Los Angeles, Visione Compromiso, and LAUSD. And the project is supported with funding from LA County's Division of HIV and STD programs. So we have a three-pronged approach in which we target students, parents, and school staff with STD prevention messages as well as information about the wellness centers as trusted resources for services. So I'm going to primarily be discussing those student components for today. So student advisory boards, with the guidance of adult allies who are usually school staff, develop STD awareness activities on their campus designed to raise awareness both about STD prevention and wellness center services available to students. So they develop their own action plans and budgets and receive small funding to carry out activities on their campuses. And in 2015, there were more than 45,000 student outreach contacts made through these student activities. So in the initial 2013 and 2014 cycles of the campaign, we primarily tracked the outputs of the campaign, which were those student outreach contacts. But in 2015, we wanted to start looking more at more of the outcomes of the campaign. So we designed pre- and post-campaign surveys that were designed to evaluate the reach and impact of campaign messages with questions designed to look at student knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors. So these surveys were implemented directly prior to and following the campaign period. There were both content-based questions and optional demographic questions for students. They were piloted on three high school campuses by homeroom teachers who were incentivized with gift cards as thanks for their support for the evaluation process. And we did choose homeroom classrooms in order to get a broad sample of students and also to make sure that we were evaluating the same group of students in the pre- and post-campaign period. So we did collect 720 pre- and post-campaign surveys. In looking at the demographics reported on those surveys, we did find that we had a very similar pool of respondents in the pre- and post-campaign period. The racial and ethnic demographics reported did match those of the school district overall, which I mentioned earlier. We had a fairly even gender breakdown. Additionally, 1% in the pre- and post-survey pool did report or did self-identify as transgender. The majority identified as heterosexual, about 90%, but 4 to 5% did identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. 2% identified as something else, and 4 to 5% preferred not to state a sexual identity. And the majority were in ninth grade and about 14 to 15 years old. That was 65% of our respondents. So looking at the results themselves, we found a 40% increase in students stating that they know where the wellness center is on their campus following the campaigns. We also had a 57% increase in students reporting that they know what services they're able to consent to at the wellness centers. It's important to note that under California law, minors of any age can consent to receive certain confidential services, including birth control, and minors age 12 or older can consent to receive STD prevention testing and treatment services. So that's a very important component of sexual and reproductive health education for adolescents in California and for the promotion of wellness center services to adolescents. And the largest increases that we saw were among young people reporting that they had actually visited the wellness center on their campus following the campaigns. We saw a 139% increase here, and we think that's likely due to the fact that certain campaign had activities such as open houses at the clinics so that students could come in, tour the facilities, and hopefully demystify that process of going in and receiving services. However, despite these increases in knowledge of what the wellness centers are, what services they provide, and students actually visiting those centers, we saw a slight increase in students reporting that they were somewhat or very unlikely to go to a wellness center to receive services. So to learn more about what was going on, we looked at the open response fields on the surveys. So we collected some of the common themes. Overall, in the positive responses, or why a student would go to the wellness center to receive services, I thought we had a bit of a response bias, students saying what they thought we would like to hear. So I would go because I care about my health, or because they have good services. But there were a few more specific responses. Students did seem interested in certain services. 22% said they would be interested in going to receive a sports physical, and 5% said that they would seek counseling services. So we think promoting or reducing barriers to accessing those services might be a way to increase utilization of school-based health centers. Additionally, 15% said that they would specifically go to seek sexual health services or education, including HIV and STD testing, up from 8% in the pre-campaign period, so that was a positive increase. And the negative responses, or why students wouldn't go to the wellness center, were more concrete. About half of the respondents said that they would not go to the wellness center because they already have a doctor or health insurance. And this is a barrier to the wellness center model, because while students can consent to receive confidential sexual health services, and those are available at low or no cost through California's publicly funded Family Pact program, they cannot consent to receive general primary care services, and they would also need their family's insurance to pay for those. So that tends to reinforce this perception that the only reason a student would go to the wellness center is to receive sexual health services. So some students talk about the walk of shame going to the clinic, that everyone knows exactly what you're going for. Another third said that they don't need services, whether they don't feel that they need any health services generally, or another sub-theme was that they didn't want sexual health services specifically. So some students said, you know, I'm not sexually active, so I have no reason to go to the wellness center, or I've already been taught about HIV or condoms, so I don't need that. A few respondents identified that they didn't feel comfortable going to the wellness center, and in the pre and post, there were a few students who expressed concerns about confidentiality, which is an important theme. So these were just a few of the responses that we saw. As you can see, students not feeling comfortable going to the wellness center, it varied from that theme of everyone knows why I'm going, or people are going to make fun of me if they see me going there, to having concerns about either school staff making it obvious when they're released to go to the wellness center what they're going for, or concerns about confidentiality or respectful treatment from the actual clinic staff. So just in summary, we did see that the campaigns increased student knowledge of the wellness centers, knowing what they are and where they are, but also there was not a related increase in students intending to go there, and we did see that strong association between the wellness centers and sexual health services, which is what we hope to see, but it may also be a little bit counterproductive when we're only thinking about sexual services in a standalone manner. So just a few recommendations to conclude with that we intend to work on in future cycles of the campaign. First, it's so critical to address the stigma that is associated with seeking sexual health services, so we'll be seeking to do that. One way that the students are working on this is not providing standalone STD awareness activities, but by holding health weeks on their campus where STD awareness may be one day, but they also address substance abuse prevention, healthy eating, active living, topics like that. It's also so important to provide technical assistance to the clinics around adolescent-friendly service delivery, starting with front desk staff to ensure they know about minor consent and confidentiality laws to ensure that students are able to access those services they need. And finally, we do want to conduct further evaluation and target older students to see if their responses are different from those of freshmen who are 14 or 15. So with that, I will leave you. Thank you.